الفاتح. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. Tonight inshallah our subject would be on the ultimate invitation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this holy month of Ramadan. But before that, inshallah, we would like to finish off what we had started yesterday about the meaning of wilayat and the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. A very important point that we did not mention is that steadfastness that a person should have when he commits himself to the love of the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. This steadfastness is so important that in Ziyarat Ashura we have something similar to that, that when we say that, Ya Aba Abdullah, we are committed to you abadam ma baqitu wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar. When we say abadam ma baqitu wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar, we mean that whatever happens throughout, abadan, forever, abadam ma baqitu, so long as I live, wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar, and so long as the night and day also exists. That means until the day of judgment, and obviously in the day of judgment then there is no time. But here we are trying to inform the Imam that, you know, we are going to be steadfast with you, and we are committing to that. That is something very important. That is the true wilaya that we should try to build up. If we try to build such a wilaya and such a propinquity and proximity with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, then whatever happens to us, we will never waver, because we have resolved to be with the Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And to be with the Ahlul Bayt, that means to follow their footsteps in this world and to be with them in the hereafter, because of being in the same stage with them. Obviously, you can't say in the same stage, but near them in this world. There is a very beautiful riwayah that I would like to mention so that you can understand what we are talking about when we say this kind of steadfastness. Abu Muhammad, the brother of Yunus bin Ya'qub, narrates from his brother Yunus, who says, I was at Medina when Ja'far bin Muhammad, that is Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, met me in one of its lanes. In one of the lanes of Medina, the Imam met me, he says. He said, O Yunus, go to the door, for a person from us, the Ahlul Bayt, is at the door. Apparently, in one of the lanes of Medina where the Imam was living, this Yunus was in the Imam's house, and the Imam said, go to the door, for one of us from the Ahlul Bayt is at the door. He said, I went to the door and I found Isa bin Abdullah sitting there. So I said, who are you? He said, I am from Qum. He said, no sooner he said that, than Abu Abdullah, that is Imam, appeared on a donkey and he entered the house riding the donkey. Then attending to us, he said, come through. Then he said, O Yunus, I believe you are not prepared to grant when I said that Isa bin Abdullah is from us. Now, this is a literal translation from one of the translators, but I'll give you a simple translation that the Imam had already known that this Yunus had not understood the fact that that Isa who was outside and he was from whom was among the Ahlul Bayt. He had not believed in it. He said, okay, no problem, to the Imam. But then the Imam knew what was in his mind. So he said that this is what I feel. I said, it is so, may I be your ransom. For Isa bin Abdullah is from the people of Qum. How can he be one of you, the Ahlul Bayt? Now look at the response of the Imam. And this is what we call about, when we say that the steadfastness of being near and in the proximity of the Imam and being committed to the Imam. He said, O Yunus, Isa bin Abdullah is from us. As long as he lives, and he shall be from us after he has died. He said, Ya Yunus, Isa bin Abdullah, Rajulun minna hayyan huwa aw mayyitan. This is what is the stamp that is needed from the Imam, that you know whether he is alive or dead, he is from us. He is guaranteed that even after Isa passes away, he is going to adhere to us. And that is the resolve that we should make when it comes to the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. And one of the things that makes us far from the wilayat of Ahlul Bayt and mawaddat of Ahlul Bayt, according to one riwayah, is sins. The more sinning we do, the more we sin, the more slowly and gradually that love that we had developed from the beginning slowly fades away. A time comes that even if it is the day of Ashura, say no problem, but then you know I have committed myself that we are going to have a party at night so we can have that party. You say, but it is the day of Ashura. No problem, I can go and see that film. No problem, I can do this and that. Why? Because that sinning has taken you to that point that you don't care whether you know you have the love of Ahlul Bayt. You start questioning that, you know, actually the Ahlul Bayt were like us. So they were, you know, they were also committing sins, or they also had faults. We had people who sat in the mimbar and said that some years ago. I don't want to mention where, but then these were recorded, these lectures. That, you know, they are not infallible. They are like us. Oh, the way we were walking in the streets, they also walked in the streets. The way we would go into faults, they also went into faults. This happens when the heart has become dark and black and you have lost that iman slowly and gradually by sinning. A'adhana Allah min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. So this was something that remained of the previous lecture, and today inshaAllah we'll look at something new. The verse that I quoted talks about the philosophy of fasting that we have already talked about. Some of the great ulama, contemporary ulama in Qom, say that divine invitation are mainly divided into four kinds of divine invitation altogether. Because the Holy Prophet in that khutbah of Sha'ban said, Du'itum ila ziyafatillah fi hadha al-shahr. In this month you have been called to be the guest of Allah. You have been called towards the banquet of Allah, ziyafatillah. So what is the ziyafatillah that we are going to face? This is what we are going to look at. But let us first look at this classification that some of the ulama have made, and it's a very beautiful classification. Ziyafatullah, divine invitation, are of four kinds. The first kind is the most general divine invitation that happens every day and every moment, whether it is in the holy month of Ramadan or before the holy month of Ramadan or after the holy month of Ramadan. And that is, you see, the word diyafa comes from the word daif. And daif is the same as idafa. And what is idafa? Idafa is that connection between the person who gives light and the light itself. See, when there is a connection, sometimes you have two entities and then there is a connector. But with regard to us and Allah, it is such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives us existence, it's not that we have a separate existence, Allah has existence, and then there is a connection. No. This is known as a unilateral kind of connection. That means when Allah gives you, He gives you existence and thereafter whatever He gives you. So, in fact, we are the guests of Allah. The existence that He gives us, the mind, the intellect that He has given us, the food and rizq that He gives us, the power to work that He gives us, every benefit that Allah gives us, we are His mehman. We are His guest at each and every moment. Every existential entity is the guest of Allah. This is the most general kind of invitation. Because everybody, in order to exist and subsist, needs Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this sense, every entity in this world, or in the hereafter also, is a guest of Allah. There is a very beautiful hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, where he says, "Inna man fi dunya dhaifun." Whosoever, whatever in this world exists, is a guest. "Wama fi aydihim ariyatun." And whatever they have is a loan from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not theirs. No one can say, you know, this existence is mine. No one can say that. Everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everybody is a guest, whether in the holy month of Ramadan or before the holy month of Ramadan. Whether an animal or a human being or an inanimate object or a plant, whatever exists, whoever has existence is a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that sense. This is known as the most general kind of invitation, divine invitation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes to all and everybody accepts, because they have existence and they subsist by the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then comes the second kind of invitation, which is known as the general invitation now. Not the most general. The first was most general. The second is the general invitation. And this invitation is made to all the believers and even the non-believers. But the non-believers don't believe in it because they don't have faith in reality. But it is for all, for this time and for those previous to us also. And that is the fast that we have in this holy month of Ramadan. Kutiba alaykumu siyam. Fasting is prescribed for you. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. The way it was prescribed for those before you. That means this kind of invitation is not only for us, but even for those before us. Kutiba alaykumu siyam. Kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. In a very beautiful hadith of Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam, he says, "Shahru Ramadan, Shahru Ramadan." The month of Ramadan is the month of Ramadan. Ramadan also is one of the names of Allah. وَالصَّائِمُونَ فِيهِ أَضْيَافُ اللَّهِ. And those who fast therein are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a very interesting dictum of Imam Khomeini, he mentions that, you know, this, we are told that du'aytum ila dhiafatillah, with that word Allah. By now you know how powerful is that word Allah, because it is the all-comprehensive name. So he says that in reality Allah is calling us towards all His names to build up these characteristics in the holy month of Ramadan. In that sense, we are the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not in that sense that a mu'min is inviting us every night, for example, for iftar. So we say that, you know, really, we are eating good food every day and Allah is really serving us. No. If it is that way, then we should have been getting food from morning. Everything should be ready from the heaven so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this ni'mah. But it's not like that. The reality is that Allah wants us to become like Him. As-sawmu li wa ana ujza bihi. Fasting is mine and I myself am its reward. we should become the Asma'ul Husna. That is what is anticipated from us in this holy month of Ramadan. Now this is the general invitation. Now comes the specific invitation, which is very important also. And we are told in the holy month of Ramadan that ask for this invitation, because it's not for all. And that is the Hajj. Allahumma zukna Hajj baytik al-haram. And so important is this asking for Hajj, that if you look at just dua Abu Hamza al-Thumali, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, asks for Hajj at three times in different places. You find he is reciting a long dua and then Hajj is asked. And then after some time, after a long time again he asks for Hajj. And after a long time again he asks for Hajj. So it is so important. And also this statement that we mentioned, Allahumma zukna Hajj baytika al-haram. You are so greedy for that. You say, Allahumma zukna Hajj baytika al-haram fi amina hadha wa fi kulli am. This year and every year. Oh Allah, every year. I'm asking you Hajj for every year. Because Hajj, again, is another spiritual journey. The way Namaz and Salat is a spiritual journey, from where you are in this material world to the proximity of Allah, similarly is Hajj. In fact, Hajj has a very great significance. But then, Hajj, the result of Hajj is that you should be a perfect human being. Very important. Jalaluddin Rumi mentions a very interesting anecdote. Some of us may know this anecdote, but those who don't know, I would like to narrate it. It's interesting. He goes to Hajj. He says that one of the saints goes to Hajj, and apparently he is known as Bayazid Bastami, one of the Sufi saints. When he wants to go to Hajj, he passes through different cities. So, in one of the cities, when he is going towards the city and reaches that place, and whenever he would go to any city, he would look for the best person religiously, the saint of that city. So he starts searching for the saint of that city, and he comes across a person who is very pious. And he describes him as the sun. He says, when I look at him, he is like the sun. Says that that person told me, what are you doing? Where are you going? He said, I'm going for Hajj, inshallah, tomorrow. So he said, okay, what provisions have you brought with you? And he said, I have brought 200 gold coins, with silver coins with me, and this is my provision, and so on. So that person says that, why don't you give me the 200 silver coins and do tawaf over me? That's enough. Do tawaf over me, you have gone to Hajj. This person comes to realize, Bayazid Bistami comes to realize that this person, this saint, has taught him a very good lesson, a very big lesson. That you know what is important for you to do? It's not that stone that is there which has four walls. It's you have to become a perfect human being. When you go around the Kaaba, you say, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You are trying to imbue monotheism in you so that when you come out, you are a perfect human being. That's what he wanted to teach. It's not that he wanted him literally to go around him and take the silver coins. No, he is giving him an example that you see, when you are going to Hajj, when you come out, you become a perfect human being. Not that, okay, alhamdulillah, this is the 25th Hajj I've done. No, it's not that. It's you become a perfect human being. Small wonder it is that you are told that visiting Ali ibn Musa Ridha al-Murtada, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, is more meritorious than 1,000 Hajj. Alf Hajj. Why? Because when you go to the Imam, he himself is the epitome of Hajj. He is an insane kamil. So when you go there and you get that ma'naviya, that spirituality from him, you are getting even sometimes more than what you get from Hajj. That is why you are told, أفضل من ألف حج. In another riwayat, ألف حج, million حج. Why? Because the important is that when you go to that Kaaba, see, it's very pathetic that, you know, you are told that your beloved is in that house, and go and meet that, your beloved. And then when you go to meet the beloved, you see the house at outside. So beautiful it is. Let me touch that house. Let me circumambulate around the house. You have circumambulated around the house, but you have not met her. And you say, okay, I'm going back. That means you have not met your beloved. When you want to go to Allah, when you want to go to the Kaaba, Kaaba is Baytullah, isn't it? We are told, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Escape to Allah, not إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ. What? فَفِرُّوا إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. According to a dictum of one of the Aimmah alayhi salam, he says this, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Hajju, do Hajj. Escape to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, become near to Him. Anyway, Hajj is a very comprehensive subject. But because our subject is not about Hajj now, I want to stop over here. But important is this, that we are told that in this holy month of Ramadan, ask for Hajj continuously. Because that is a journey which is extremely important. And that is why the Imam three times in Dua Abu Hamza repeats and asks for Hajj from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we have a beautiful hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Where he says, "Inna ضيف الله عز وجل." Verily, the guest of Allah عز وجل is the one who does Hajj and Umrah. فهو ضيف الله حتى يرجع إلى منزله. Very important statement. Those who would like to go to Hajj, remember this. I found people when they go to Hajj, when everything is finishing. See, they have done their halq. They also do halq of their beard also. So when they do halq of their beard, it is as if they have finished everything. They have come back to square one. But in reality here you are told that, you know, you are a guest of Allah until you come to your doorstep where you are. Allah loves you so much that all the journey you went, you are still in the airport, you have finished your Hajj, still you are a guest of Allah. You are in the aeroplane, still you are a guest of Allah. People meet you in the airport, still you are the guest of Allah. When you reach home is when that situation of being guest terminates. So it's very important for us to realize this from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Now, this is the specific fast. This is the specific kind of banquet and invitation. But this specific invitation is only for some people, some Muslims, not all Muslims. Because not all Muslims can go to Hajj. Not all Muslims can afford. Only those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the tawfiq, Laylatul Qadr, their names are written, and so on. Now comes the most specific invitation of Allah. And what is that? Now again, among the Muslims we have a specific group who attend this invitation and enjoy this invitation. And the beauty is that all of us can do that easily if we really struggle and if we really try to venture on that. And that is, according to a very beautiful hadith from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, when he swears by Allah, he says, "Inna zuwara qabri." It's ajib, really. "Inna zuwara qabri." Verily, those who visit my qabr, la akramul wufud ala Allah. Ajib. They are the most noble of the guests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Wama min mu'minin yazuruni فتصيب وجهه قطرة من السماء إلا حرم الله عز وجل جسده على النار." And if, for example, you're going to visit Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam and any kind of calamity happens or any raindrop, every raindrop that comes to your body, you are told that you are going to be saved from the hellfire. Now this is the sanctity of visiting Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, so much so that even in a very beautiful hadith, again, this is from Imam Musa ibn Ja'far alayhi salam. Where he says that on the day of judgment, there will be prophets sitting, and there will be the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam sitting together. And then he says, فَيَقْعُدُ مَعَنَا زُوَّارُ قُبُورِ الْأَئِمَّةِ. those who visited the qabr of the Aimma alayhi salam will be sitting with us there. And then he says, Ala inna a'laha darajatan wa aqrabahum habwatan zuwaru qabri waladi Ali. He says that the highest among those people in terms of nuraniyat and in terms of elevation will be those who visited my son Ali ibn Musa Rida alayhi salam. So basically you come to realize that, you know, when a person goes to do the ziyarah, he attains such a station that words are beyond expression. But it is important for us to remember one thing, that many of us go to do ziyarah and we do it sincerely, although we don't know what we are reciting. The most important thing that we have to develop today, and I think this is a very serious issue, we should address ourselves today so that tomorrow we don't regret. That is the issue of aqa'id, studying aqa'id, studying your beliefs. You believe that Allah is existing, you believe that Allah is one, you believe that, for example, He is adil, you believe that, for example, He is eternal, He was pre-eternal, and everything. All the beliefs that we have, our beliefs, if we are not steadfast in that, then the even our a'mal are of no use. Any a'mal that you say, whether salat, sawm, hajj, zakat, anything that you give doesn't have the value if that iman is not there. That iman, obviously sometimes that iman is through ilm, that is to learn this aqa'id, and sometimes that iman is developed after having listened to people and having imbued it in yourself, and you do it by taqleed, the way, you know, we do taqleed of the fatwas of the maraja, the same way you do taqleed of the scholars. Recite the salawat, please. Why I say this? Because personally, during my travel and journeys, I have come across people who were good people once upon a time, who had faith, but after having gone to an environment whereby they were deceived, they lost their faith and they became those who were against Islam, against Shiaism. The one person I know, I remember, in one of the African towns, African cities, said that, you know, what is this hadith? Everything is there in Quran. But then if he would read the Quran properly, the Quran clearly says, مَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ, whatever the Prophet gives you, take it. And the Prophet has clearly said, إِنِّي تَارِكٌ فِيكُمُ الثَّقَلَيْنِ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَعِتْرَةِ أَهْلَ بَيْتِي مَا إِن تَمَسَّكْتُمْ بِهِمَا لَن تَضِلُّ بَعْدِي أَبَدًا. But you know, how does this develop? Slowly and gradually it develops from haram food. See, when a person is used to not caring of where he goes, how he eats, whether, you know, what he eats is halal or haram, he doesn't care simply, and he continues his life like that. A time comes when, you know, this iman comes out slowly and gradually, it leaves the heart. And when it leaves the heart, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ, this world of the person would suffer, and in the hereafter also. In this world, obviously, he would suffer because he would never come to terms with his iman. Always he would try to think about it, that, you know, he would ask that, you know, this, you are crying for Imam Hussein alayhi salam for how many years? That thing has transpired 1400 years ago, not realizing that, you know, the incident of Karbala, what has come to us is just the tip of the tip of the tip of the iceberg. We don't know anything. That is why that person, when he asks Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam, when Abu Basir asks Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam that, is it so serious that Bibi Fatima is continually crying even now? He says, what you know is nothing compared to what really transpired. So the reality is that, you know, a person without having knowledge jumps into conclusion, doesn't go through the logical flow of arguments and all these things. The root cause of it is what a person eats. Obviously, it's not only that, but even the kind of environment the person has. when he goes in his office, for example, or he's in his school? Or what are the kinds of sins he does every day while he is in his school, for example? Because today, to do a sin is not so difficult. You can go to the internet and start sinning. You can look at a TV program and start sinning. You can be in a mixed gathering and start sinning. Even without practically going to that person or anything, just by ogling. And this is happening rampantly in different places. I'm not saying here, but in different places. But the important thing is that we should be vigilant, that it should not be that we are continuing this routine, suddenly a break comes in our life and we lose that hold that we have of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. A time comes that we say that all these things that Allah has brought, all these difficulties in my life, I can't do this. These people think about me this way and so on. And now you start thinking that if really Allah was there, these things would not be there. And this is happening. Literally, I'm asking somebody, he said, you know, sometimes these doubts come in my mind. Is Allah there or not? Because, you know, all these problems of life which are coming and so on. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such things. Really. And because alhamdulillah we have that love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, may Allah make it steadfast so that we never come to these traps. But then these are dangers which are ahead of us. We should try to think about it. A very important thing is to ensure that our children at least know their beliefs, aqa'id. We should ask them, look at the Quran, it's so beautiful. Nabi Luqman, the first thing he says to his son, he says, Ya Bunayya. First he says, Ya Bunayya. Beautiful. The Quran is so beautiful. He says, Ya Bunayya. That means he's respecting. You know, when you say Ya to a person, you say that when you use Ya and he's near you, that means you are respecting him. Ya. And then he says, Bunayya. Not only is he respecting him, but he's saying that I love you. Bunayya, my little son. Bunayya. La tushrik billah. Do not do shirk. Inna shirka la zulmun azeem. Verily, shirk is a very great sin, very great oppression. Now, the first thing that he says is this. That means that even a father can tell the son, can counsel the son about aqa'id. But this is how he does. And obviously, then he comes with arguments, he comes with very beautiful proofs in his conversation. This is what we should do. If we can't do it ourselves, then we should ensure that the madrasa does it, or the teachers of the madrasa should be employed, or people from outside, alhamdulillah, lecturers are coming and going in this society, but these people should come and have short courses of aqaid, that you know, at least when you come out from that, for example, 2 week course or 1 week course, a person asks you any kind of question of aqaid and you are there, you can answer. You say, yes, I know it. You want me to prove the wilayat of Amir al-Mu'mineen? This is how. These are the ahadith which are mutawatir, for example. This is the proof. You want me to prove, for example, the attributes of Allah? This is how I prove. And so on. Once you are powerful within, no one can waver you. But if you are not powerful within, slowly and gradually, and the circumstances which are there in this city and in this place, together, if you take it together, you'll find that the future is very bleak. But inshallah, we should always be optimistic. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to be steadfast and never to stray, inshaAllah. One of the very great calamities that transpired was the demise of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. So great was this tragedy that up to today, for how many years? More than 1400 years, we are told to recite that Saturday dua. Usibna bika ya Rasulullah. That because of what happened to you, O Rasulullah, we really came in the state of musibah. Usibna bika ya Rasulullah. When? Haythun qata'a anna al-wahi, because the revelation got cut. وَحَيْثُ فَقَدْنَاكَ, and because we miss you, فَإِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We say this 3 times, إِنَّا لِلَّهُ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Just look at this. This is one. Number two, in Dua Iftitah we say, اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّا نَشْكُو إِلَيْكَ فَقْدَ نَبِيِّنَا. Oh Allah, we are complaining to you because the prophet is not near us. This, the 12th Imam is saying, realizing how powerful the prophet's presence is. And when we go further, we see that when once Umm Salama asks Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتِ عَنْ لَيْلَتِكِ يَا بِنْتَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. How did you confront your morning, O daughter of the Prophet? She said, أَصْبَحْتُ بَيْنَ كَمَدِ وَكَرْبِ فَقْدِ النَّبِيِّ وَظُلْمِ الْوَصِيِّ هُتِكَ وَاللَّهِ حِجَابُهُ. She says, I have confronted the morning between the grief and the sorrow of losing the Prophet and the oppression over the successor of the Holy Prophet. I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the curtain of wilayat has been torn. Abi Basir says that Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said that because Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam, because of these two main reasons, Bibi Fatima Zahra alayhi salam was incessantly crying and incessantly in the situation of sorrow. That is why it was not because of what happened to her, that person throwing the door at her, or for example, Janabi Muhsin Salamullah alayhi getting martyred. It was not because of that. When Umm Salama says, she says it's because of these two things, because of losing my father. And see, the even the words that she uses, she doesn't say, fuck the Abi, that I lost my father. She says, fuck the Nabi, losing the Prophet of Allah. And she doesn't say that zulmi zawji, that you see my husband was oppressed, but zulmi al-wasi. Then she says, hutika wallah hijabu. It is said that when Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam was martyred and she left this world, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam went to the mosque and Imam Ali alayhi salam was praying. وَهُوَ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ. And they informed Imam Ali alayhi salam, فَغُشِيَ عَلَيْهِ, and he went to unconsciousness. رُشَّ عَلَيْهِ الْمَاءِ, some water was sprinkled on him. ثُمَّ أَفَاقَ, thereafter he came towards consciousness. فَحَمَلَهُمَا حَتَّى أَدْخَلَهُمَا بَيْتَ فَاطِمَا. He carried both of them till he took them to the house of Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam. وَعِنْدَ رَأْسِهَا أَسْمَاءَ تَبْكِي, and near the Mubarak face of Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam, Asma was there crying. وَتَقُولْ وَايَتَامَا Muhammad, she was saying, O the orphans of Muhammad, كُنَّا نَتَعَزَّى بِفَاطِمَا بَعْدَ صَوْتِ جَدُّكُمَا فِي مَنْ نَتَعَزَّى. He says that when the Holy Prophet died and Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam was alive, we would seek solace from Bibi Fatima Zahra alayha salam. Now that Bibi Fatima is not with us, whom should we seek solace from? Ala la'natullah ala al-qawm al-zalimeen, wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayyamun qalabin yanqalibun, inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un.